Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Divining Dreams with Selena Fox. And tonight, we have another installment of the story of Circle Sanctuary. This is Selena Fox, and tonight I will be sharing with you some memories, some history, some perspectives on Circle Sanctuary, the organization, Circle Sanctuary, the community, and Circle Sanctuary, the land. In our first episode of the story of Circle Sanctuary, I talked about the origins of Circle Sanctuary, some of the things that preceded it, some of my own background, and some of the things that led right up to the founding of Circle Sanctuary, which was at Samhain time in 1974, and shared with you the development not only of Circle, now also known as Circle Sanctuary, as a Wiccan, pagan, nature spirituality church, but the growth of contemporary paganism, which it was part of. Tonight, in this second installment of the story of Circle Sanctuary, I'd like to focus on Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, Circle Sanctuary and its connection with sacred land. When I founded Circle, also known as Circle Sanctuary, back at Samhain 1974, I knew it was important to have a circle that converged people from many different paths, not only to connect with each other on common ground about the craft and paganism, but to connect with the sacred dimensions of nature, in old ways and in new ways. From its earliest days, the idea of having Circle be centered in a rural area was part of the vision, part of the dream. In 1975, we started moving towards that dream by renting a place near Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, and that became the first home of Circle, where we had classes, where we had ceremonies, an indoor temple, an outdoor pinnacle garden, on part of a rented farmstead that was just outside the city limits of Sun Prairie, Wisconsin, on the far, far, far east side of Madison, Wisconsin, in the south central part of the state of Wisconsin. It was during those years at Circle Farm Number One, as we called it, that the idea of purchasing land started taking form. We thought that we needed to have at least a decade of time in which we would experience rural living. We would grow Circle as a pagan center, Wiccan church, nature spirituality community. And then as we grew and had time to formulate where we would want to be located, how to make decisions, who all to be involved, how to fund this and sustain this, that we figured a decade or so would be a good timeline. In fact, we even thought if it needed to take 15 years or so, we could do that. Back then, there were pagans who had their own property, but we really did not have what we have in many parts of the world today, which were pieces of land which are dedicated as pagan sacred land. Just past Samhain of 1979, after a series of positive publicity appeared about paganism as a whole, and Circle Sanctuary in particular, in radio and television, in the press, not only locally and regionally, but nationally and globally, there was some good understanding that happened, but there were some people, in particular the landlord and landlady who had been renting us the land, that were opposed to us continuing to be on their land. So we were evicted shortly after Samhain, and we needed to find another place to live. We moved to Circle Farm number 2 near Ashton, Wisconsin, on a month-to-month lease. And then that place was sold, and we needed to move again. And so we moved to a rented farmhouse near Black Earth, Wisconsin, and we were there for several years. With the eviction from Circle Farm number 1 and having prejudice against witches, Wiccans, pagans, nature religionists front and center, we changed our timeline for having a pagan center on land that Circle Sanctuary would own. We started formulating what kind of land we might want to have, how much, and in 1980, we began raising funds for what is now known as Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. We got mixed response from the greater pagan community with this effort. Some people were supportive and were contributing to our land project, but other people were concerned at what they saw was the emergence of Circle as a pagan institution. To have some understanding about how that happened to be, one has to look at some of the roots of contemporary paganism. There's been some form of paganism around on the planet since the Paleolithic. May not have been specifically called pagan all of that time, but the idea of humankind connecting with nature in sacred ways, celebrating the cycles of seasons, the cycles of the moon, and the cycles of life, that's something that has been part of the human experience in a variety of cultural and spiritual ways around the world. Contemporary paganism today, capital P on pagan, has much of its roots in old Europe, pre-Christian Europe, and around the Mediterranean, which would also include some parts of the Middle East and northern part of Africa. Contemporary paganism in the United States has had a variety of different forms, survivals of folk ways, folk traditions that even date back to the colonial era of what we now call the United States of America. How do we know this? Some family oral history from different pagans I've encountered over the years, talking with people that would call themselves hereditary pagans, hereditary witches, some artifacts that have survived from colonial times, witch bottles, a kind of folk magic that was prevalent not only in England, Scotland, some other parts of Europe, but started emerging in this land now known as the USA. The idea of folk practices and knowing that cultures have a way of shifting location and shifting form. There's been pagan roots as part of the USA experience that include some of the architecture that we see in public buildings that clearly is inspired and in some cases duplicated from ancient Greece and ancient Rome during their pagan times. Perhaps one of the most powerful examples of this is the Statue of Liberty, which is a depiction of Libertas, the ancient Roman goddess of freedom. And within circles on history, Libertas and some of the old forms of paganism have been incorporated in our own fabric of contemporary paganism, as well as innovative forms that have emerged in the 20th century and since then, including now the 21st century. We started envisioning having pagan land. So instead of having this start in the mid-80s or even the 90s, we started in 1980, only a few years after we had rented that place near Sun Prairie. We formed a group to brainstorm and do visioning about this land project in 1980. Indeed, in 1980, as part of our growth as Circle Sanctuary, the church, and the network, we shifted our occasional one-page publication into a quarterly newspaper called Circle Network News. And during 1980, we put out the call in our issues about our land project. We started having meetings of the people that form the core of the Circle community. We exchanged ideas. We kept a running list of things that we thought would be good for the land project. And we invited people who were contributing funds for the land project to also share their ideas. In 1978, we had incorporated as a nonprofit religious organization in the state of Wisconsin. And in 1980, we got federal status as a legal church. So the money that was being donated to Circle Sanctuary for our land project was tax deductible, could be claimed on people's income taxes. So just as churches of other religions were able to have 501c3 federal IRS tax-exempt status, so did Circle have this status, being one of the first Wiccan and pagan churches in the nation to get this status. While we did not have to incorporate, we chose to do that in order to be more fully established as a church and to put ourselves as a growing spiritual organization and community on the same level as other religions with their churches, temples, mosques, and centers. We did another thing in 1980. We recognized, in addition to inviting people to contribute, give outright donations, it would be good to start doing some type of events and to have the proceeds from those events go to the land fund. So in June of 1980, we put on our very first summer solstice gathering, a prototype of what the following year in 1981 came to be known as the Pagan Spirit Gathering. Funds left over from the expenses of putting on the gathering went into our land fund. And this really helped us grow a fund to purchase the land, to at least get a down payment together. We also did networking face-to-face in addition to sending out postal mailings. And we found that many people were excited about the idea of having pagan land that was something that was coming together as a result of input of ideas and contributions of volunteer help as well as funds from people from many different Wiccan, witch, pantheistic, animistic, pagan paths. Not only across the USA, but from around the world. As we were continuing to raise funds and put on events, including our biggest event of the year, the Pagan Spirit Gathering, we started visiting places that could be prospective places to purchase. We pretty much looked around the greater Madison, Wisconsin area, since that's where we were based. I find it interesting that the bioregion in Wisconsin, where we ended up purchasing land for Circle headquarters, the Driftless area, as this bioregion is known, became our home beginning with that month-to-month lease place in Ashton, Wisconsin, and then the following Circle Farm number 3 near Black Earth. We went from Sun Prairie, which was in a glaciated part of the state, into the Driftless area. We continued our quest for several years in looking at different sites. We needed to have more space than the farmhouse we were renting in Black Earth, Wisconsin. So we rented a place in the nearby village of Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, where we had our Circle offices. And we had the Circle Collective. It was our core circle group. We answered mail. We did publishing. We did networking out of that office. A number of people who are now connected with other traditions were part of these formative years of Circle Sanctuary. Amber Kay, who is part of Ardentate in New Mexico, was our editor of Circle Network News for a time. And people connected with Reformed Congregation of the Goddess and another Dianic group called Temple of Diana also studied with me and worked in our offices and did volunteer work for us during the 1980s. Deanna Alba, who was part of our household at Circle Farm number one and number two and number three, continued to be part of our community, but also started connecting with some other communities during the 1980s. For us, Circle's identity since its earliest days has had its own flavor, but part of that flavor has been a universalism in terms of bringing together people from many different traditions. So our tradition has included being a welcoming and converging path of spirituality that welcomes people from many paths of not only paganism, but other forms of spirituality that had as the central focus attunement to nature, honoring nature in sacred ways, having a sense of ethics that's compatible with the Wiccan Reed and harm none, do what you will, the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm, something equivalent, which takes not only one's personal needs into account as one makes life choice decisions, but looks itself in relation with the larger realm of humankind as well as the larger circle of nature on this planet and beyond. So as Circle Network developed and as Circle developed and as our ideas about having land developed, we saw a convergence of old ways and new ways of being, many traditions and folk ways connected with paganism, and the focus of being able, as part of spiritual experience, to be in natural places. Pagan spirit gathering in its various locations over the years has reflected that theme of humankind being in a natural area, doing ritual that not only converges the diversity within paganism, but puts us in harmony with the land, with the spirits of place, with the elements of nature. With the divine as one, the divine as God and goddess, as great spirit, the divine as ancestors, the divine in many different forms. As we started looking at land, we sought to get something that met the various criteria that we as the Land Search Committee and as the emerging Circle Network that was supporting this endeavor had put forth. And some of those things you might consider kind of challenging to have them both. For example, accessible to a city where there is some public transportation, but private and remote. having something that was very nature-centric, where one could go out and experience forests and fields and water, but also having some structures to accommodate activities indoors. A place where we could create a cemetery. A place that had been used in the ancient past as a sacred place. Something that we could add to. A place that was beautiful and relaxing, that had its own type of healing powers connected with it. Something that had electricity already available, water already available, a place where we could grow and develop. In 1983, I had a dream in which I saw land. We had been putting out the call for the right land to come to us. I think also going on was the land itself looking for the right humans to be part of its life. In the dream, I saw vividly huge oak trees. I had a sense it was close to where our Circle Publications offices were in Mount Horeb. I had a sense that it had been used by ancient Native people as a sacred site. I shared my dream that morning when I got to the office to those who had gathered there to do work for the day. And a woman who was one of our employees, part-time, working in graphic arts, and only worked there, actually, because she was between jobs, only for a few weeks, doing this temporary thing with us. When I shared my dream and she heard it, she says, "I think I know what place that might be." The land is a 200-acre site north of Barneveld, Wisconsin. It had been the home of only a few people of European-American ancestry since the 1800s. A older couple in the 1960s had it as a summer place, and as they aged, they realized that they really needed to live in a more urban area, and they donated this land to the University of Wisconsin Foundation as a nature preserve. The University of Wisconsin, one of my colleges, alma mater at the graduate school level, it's a huge institution. And the people who were making decisions regarding property donations for the University of Wisconsin Foundation decided, rather than having it be a nature preserve that the university needed to care for, that they would sell it. And a family bought it and actually did some Whole Foods baking as part of their endeavors and actually did some of that work on the property for a time. But they overextended themselves and were not able to make payments on the land and ended up losing the land to a bank. So when I had the dream, shared the dream, found out about this place, the bank had just put it up on the market because the bank didn't want to be holding it and doing the caregiving for it, wanted to turn it around and to have it sold. So I went in to the bank and met with the president of this very small town bank, Barneveld State Bank, it was called, a bank that had been around since the, for more than 100 years or so, and met with the president, and we hit her off really well. We had some money for a down payment, but this was 200 acres of land, and we made an offer on the land, which was, for the time, was very, very low, and yet, because we made the offer and went through the processes, the bank had to consider it. We got wind that the some other people were looking at buying the land. And another company that had been thinking about the land was a company that does logging and was considering buying the land and logging it off, clear-cutting it. There was some other interest amongst people at the time. I put my offer for Circle in right before summer solstice. Well, this was 1983, and June was Pagan Spirit Gathering time. I had some concerns being gone for Pagan Spirit Gathering that some other people might want to get the land, and basically ask the land, well, if you want us, please work with us to make this happen. While we were at Pagan Spirit Gathering, a huge old oak tree came down near the house and disrupted the electrical service, actually knocked the wire down. So while we were at Pagan Spirit Gathering, people were not actually able to go and look at the land because of this electrical issue. Pagan Spirit Gathering went well. I was surprised to find out that an oak spirit had helped us out in this way. We continued our negotiations with the bank, and we went back and forth on the price and the conditions. And at Samhain time of 1983, we reached an agreement and began working to get this land in the form of a land contract. It was Samhain time, and we needed to go and sign the paperwork. October 31st, Jim Allen and I drove to what is now Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve and took with us some offerings from our Samhain festival that we were going to place on the land to honor the spirits of the land, the ancient ones on the land, and the spirits of the dead. Our car at the time was an old green Fiat, and it was pretty reliable most of the time. But it was an older model car. We decided that we would drive out the field road and go to a mound that we now call Ritual Mound, and that we had put the offerings up there. As we drove on that field road, the car conked out. well, this seemed to be a test for us. What are we going to do? Well, I felt strongly that we just take the offerings up on foot. So we continued the rest of the way on foot, carrying the plate of food offerings and the chalice with beverage. As we walked up in the dark along that field road, up the upper field, which is now a restored prairie, and headed to the top of the mound, I felt presences everywhere. Was it scary and spooky and all of that? There clearly were forces and presences that were pretty intense that I was sensing. And both Jim and I could feel this. When we walked up to the top of the mound, all of a sudden there was a calm, a peacefulness. Then we began presenting the offerings to each of the directions. We began as I turned and faced the north with the plate and the chalice. As I held it up, a ball of white light appeared in the distance in the north. There was no electric lights around that part of the land. It was a spirit light. It was not scary. It was reassuring. And then it vanished. I turned to face the east and the south and the west and the center. And then as we set the offerings down, offering them with prayers to the ancient ones of the land, those humans who had been there in the past, to the spirits of the land, and to beloved dead and ancestors, a voice came to me in a clear, audient way. Will you care for this land? Will you watch over this land? Will you be a guardian of this land? Jim and I weren't talking to each other at this point. He also had a sense of a calling from the land. We later found out as we compared notes. And I verbalized, yes. I felt a shift in the energy. I felt a power within the mound rise up into our circle. This is before we physically had put any stones down in this space. Old traditions in some Celtic realms of the hollow hills. Well, this seemed to be a hollow mound, that there was clearly a passage to the other world, that this was a she-mound, a fairy-mound, a sacred place. And the sense that I had and the sense that Jim had was that, yes, this was the right place. We asked the land if it wanted us. The land said yes. We agreed to watch over the land. And then we concluded our rite, walked back down the hill, got in the car to see if it would start, and it did. Backed it out the driveway and continued to our home, which was only a few miles away, in Black Earth, Wisconsin, just over the county line. Well, at the next day, we went into the bank, and that Samhain, we signed the land contract, and began the process of being part of a land-based pagan community. We were excited by this and also realized we had quite an undertaking ahead of us. In the next few weeks, we did renovation work on the house. We painted walls, we cleaned up the buildings, and we prepared to move in. My partner now, Dennis Carpenter, was part of a minister's intensive that I did in early November, shortly after we had signed the papers to begin purchase on the land. And he was one of a small group of people that came to visit this new land that was headquarters for Circle. And I find it interesting that he happened to be there just as the land appeared. And many of the people who were part of that minister's group, we still are in touch with. So we moved onto the land and started working on having our offices, our ceremonial room, and our living quarters all in this house. And Circle started growing and developing as a result of this. One of the big rooms, which I think in an earlier era would have been called the parlor, had sliding doors, really big, big room, became our magic room and library. We had a kitchen. We had moved a wood stove into the kitchen to give it some extra heating, and we had our offices in a little dining area between the kitchen and the bathroom. There was no heat to speak of in the upper part of the house. There was an attempt to pipe some heat up there, so it was a bit nippy. The house didn't have much in the way of insulation. It had been built in the early part of the 20th century, and I think they had used some kind of newspapers or other kind of biodegradable insulation. So the house was a bit drafty. It definitely was a fixer-upper. And we had this be our home for all of our work activities, our ceremonies, as well as our living. Then in 1984, in the spring, we'd only been there not even 6 months, we get a visit from the zoning administrator, who started asking questions about who we were and what we were doing. Well, we later found out that some people wanted us off of the land because they were prejudiced against witches and pagans. And there was actually a very organized group of bigoted people, including some people that were connected with some local so-called Christian churches, that were getting the local population all riled up. Well, I talked with the zoning administrator and asked questions, including, well, how about the people that do Boy Scout work from their homes? Or do they have to have special government permission? How about people who have study circles from the local churches in their homes? Do they have to have special permission? Well, he departed and didn't follow up immediately, and I thought, well, perhaps we've dodged this, but we were concerned because it became apparent to us that some people were not embracing of diversity in the local area, and we actually had thought we had checked the local region out because we had only lived 4 or 5 miles away in Black Earth. You know, it's right over the county line in a nearby township. I've since learned that every rural community has its own kind of dynamics and things. And we wondered, well, what's going to come of all of this? In June of that year, a horrible tragedy befell the local village of Barneveld. It was before Doppler radar had been in the area and developed to the extent it is now. One of the most powerful tornadoes, it was the most powerful tornado in the tornado file, it was EF5, hit Barneveld and destroyed the town. I was staying at the Circle farmhouse along with Jim and other people that night. I had a dream and had been awoken from the dream by a clap of thunder, a flash of lightning, and the sound of a train, which I now know was the tornado. When I got up that morning, I went out and added something to my daily meditation. I had not consciously known what exactly had happened, but I faced each of the directions and celebrated the day, greeted the sun, and asked for blessings of protection. We discovered our electricity had gone out in the night, and I was going to go and check with one of the neighbors when the neighbor came down the driveway and let us know that the village of Barneveld and a couple other places had been hit by a tornado. Barneveld certainly took the brunt of it. Well, even though there had been some negativity coming from Barneveld to us, for me, the right thing to do was to go to the village and see what kind of help I could provide. So we drove into the local village. We even gathered water, which was still working at our place, and took even water with us into the local village. And as we drove into the village, we were horrified to see the destruction that had happened. I went to one of the few buildings that was left standing was the town garage, and that's where a staging area, and there were a number of mental health professionals that had shown up. I stood with them, maybe for an hour or so. People were too shocked to really come up and try to get counseling at that point. Their homes were destroyed. A third of the town was injured. A number of people had died. It was a very tragic scene. It was then I decided that since we really weren't getting any people taking us off on the offers of getting some counseling support, that I would join the church ladies from the local churches who were serving food in this makeshift kitchen in the town garage to the local people. And in the days and weeks that followed, I did volunteer work there. Within a couple days of this tragedy hitting, the man who would later become my husband, Dennis Carpenter, had accepted a job working as the editor of Circle Network News and made his way to Circle. And he came just a day or two after the tragedy hit, and he joined us in our volunteer work to help the local village. People came from near and far. There were Amish and Mennonite even coming from Canada coming down. It made national news. I learned from that experience that being connected not only on the land where one dwells, the particular property, but being attuned to the region and being able to be of service to the region was a really important thing to do. So my real introduction face-to-face with people in the Barneveld area came as I did relief work in that town hall. I also took some food out on the trails to the various home sites as people were gathering up the debris from their homes. And while I didn't get to meet all the people in the local village, clearly, not only myself, but others who were living at Circle at the time, doing volunteer work, was appreciated by people. We had a couple years go by where we had no more visits from anybody doing zoning. But what happened in October and September of 1985 was that there was a federal effort to take away tax-exempt status from Wiccan churches. And we, as an organization, myself as an individual, as well as a representative of Circle, went on the front lines to challenge this effort to have pagans and Wiccans in particular be second-class citizens by losing tax-exempt status for Wiccan churches. And we had tax-exempt status as a Wiccan church, and we would directly be impacted. We did a mailing to more than 5,000 people, all the people on our mailing list, and let people know about this effort, rallied support, and the good news is that we were able, as a movement, to stop this illegal and bigoted legislation. Some of the people who were behind the legislation connected with some local people and decided to take action against us. And so in April of 1986, we had what I would call the zoning war reemerge. And even though we had helped the local village and people there and in the region, even though we had been making friends and connecting with people in the local area, there, that group of people that had pushed on the zoning administrator in 1984 were still at it and evidently had recuperated enough from the tragedy that had happened previously that they had strength to go and harass us. And we were paid a visit by the zoning administrator, who said that we would be fined $100 a day if we didn't get zoning. So we needed to go through a zoning process. We hired an attorney and began the process for getting zoned as a church. We go to the very first zoning meeting, and a illegal meeting had been held ahead of time, violating all sorts of open meeting laws in the state of Wisconsin, people presenting false information about who we were, taking a clip that was from our Phil Donahue Today Show appearance, which was a positive thing, and mixing it in with a Geraldo special on satanic criminal activity, and claiming that we were bad for the area and getting people all riled up. And in that zoning hearing, the zoning administrator challenged whether we were really a church or not. Well, you're not a church. And said this in front of the press as well as the local community. Well, we realized we had a battle on our hands, and we went through a couple years of lawyering up, and the American Civil Liberties Union, Wisconsin chapter, ended up taking our case and providing an attorney, and then we ended up winning zoning that they claimed we needed to have in 1988 under a full moon on Epiphany, January 6th. And since that time, we have had improved relations with the local area. In fact, I have served on some government committees, as has Dennis. I knew things were better in 1990 with the 20th anniversary of Earth Day, when the mayor of the local village of Barneveld invited me to address their youth at the military bike trail cleanup and talking about the environment and Earth Day. I will continue my accounts of our journey with Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve in our next installment, but let me summarize before I close that I very much appreciate the support that we have had for our organization over the years, our church, our community, and our land. Our land has continued to grow and develop as a headquarters for pagans, and we were able to create a national pagan cemetery after we paid off the land in 1995. In 2010, we became the first green cemetery in Wisconsin to be officially registered as a cemetery. We have taken part in federal and state and local and regional environmental endeavors. We hold a big Earth Day every year. That's an open event, a public open house. And we have had people from a variety of churches and other groups from the area come, bring their Sunday school classes, and there have been a variety of field trips, people from public schools, people from senior citizen groups out to Circle Sanctuary to learn about humankind being in good relation with nature, to learn about nature spirituality, to learn about nature therapy. And as we move into our 45th birthday celebration, Circle, the pagan church and community, we also are celebrating our land. And we have just recently done some upgrades and are interfacing even more with additional facets of society. And I'm thankful for those who have come to the land physically and those who have supported the land even when they haven't physically been able to come. We have helped birth some other land projects for other groups. We've had many opportunities to connect with environmental groups, with groups that want to green the end of life. We've helped provide expertise for people doing green cemeteries. So Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve not only is the headquarters for Circle and a place where humans can come and commune with nature in sacred ways, we also are working on environmental and social justice and spiritual, interreligious endeavors around the world. I wish you all a good evening, and I invite you to tune in for our next installment of the story of Circle Sanctuary. For more information about Circle Sanctuary, you can visit us at www.circlesanctuary.org. You can find us on Facebook, Circle Sanctuary Community, the page, and Circle Sanctuary Community, the group. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, you can find me in social media as well. We conclude tonight with a song that I created, a very short chant, Dance with the Trees. It's off of our Songs of Pagan Folk album, which came out in 1980. Many blessings.
Let's dance with the trees. Let's dance with the trees. Let's dance with the trees and become one with the mother.